vergadering wordt nu opgenomen.
Thank you all for joining today. This is Brenda speaking. Welcome to ATRT3 Review Team Plenary Call Number 6 on the 27th of March 2019 at 2100 UTC. Attending the call today is Daniel Nanghaka, Sherilyn Denor, Martin Botterman, Sandra Scardizini, Lou Yu, Yap Akerhus, Michael Karanikos, Erica Barlees, Jeff Huston, Sebastian Bachelet, Tola Savisen, and Wolfgang Kleinwalker. Observers joining us are Shokri, Herb, and Jim Prendergast. ICANN org people joining is Jean-Baptiste, Nagar, and Brenda. We do have apologies from Demi Getzko and Pat Kane. Today's call is being recorded. I'd like to remind you to please state your name before speaking, and I'll turn the call over to Cheryl. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl Langdonell, for the transcript record. And with that, I will remind you all to state your name at the beginning of any intervention for the transcript record. Although many of you are so well trained, it's quite natural. I'll also apologise that at this time of day there is the bird chorus in the background of my world, and there's not a darn thing I can do about it, so enjoy the cacophony and see if you can let me know in chat if my voice isn't heard clearly. I'll also apologise that because of the power outage I was not aware that Pat was not going to be available for today's call. And so when I noted earlier that Pat hadn't joined us, I didn't realise he was already an apology. Just as well we got power back on, or...
Hello? Hello?
I guess you got power outage again. It's Sebastian speaking. Yes, Wolfgang. I guess it's Cheryl get the power outage again.
Okay.
She was on power outage during a few hours today, therefore I think it's the same thing again. And as we have no other co-chair,
Yes. You have that blind for the co-chair, but you will. So that means if you volunteer the chair, that's fine. So we have the slides. And so I think there are no many things that have to be decided today. I think we need the information for the face-to-face meeting. And then transparency, guiding principles. I have no special comment on this. Identify topics of review. Probably somebody has to say something.
But hopefully Cheryl will be able to join us again. Staff, do you have any news about Cheryl?
Yeah, sorry, I was raising my hand. We are trying to call her back. In the meantime, while we try to call her back, what we can do is move to the second item on the agenda, which is transparency guiding principles and also the face-to-face meeting. I'm not sure whether Cheryl had the time to ask whether there were any statements of interest before starting this call. So if there are any statements of interest, please raise your hands or mention it in the chat.
Okay. Well, I spent a long time doing an introduction that nobody was listening to.
Perfect.
I do apologize. I wish that had shown up on the chat earlier because I was well into my introduction and asking for SOIs and going over the agenda and then had the line tell me that there was a call waiting. My apologies. I'm assuming that you've done SOIs. Where are you up to, Jean-Baptiste?
I was just asking that before you joined the game.
Okay, so we've not called for SOIs?
I did.
So,
okay,
you've done that. Great. And have you gone over the agenda and asked for any other business to be notified?
Not yet.
Oh, okay, then. I know where we're up to. And apologies for the bird chorus. It's the time of day where the bird chorus simply is. And Brenda, if I drop again, obviously I'll try and ping me in chat. Right. So with that, I must apologise for the vagaries of my power supply. I was offline until not long before this call, and so I did not realise that Pat was an apology for today's call. Otherwise, I wouldn't have delayed starting, waiting for him. Whoopsie, from me not having caught up with my emails yet. Right, looking at the agenda, and just to remind you all, we should be identifying ourselves by name before we make an intervention for the transcript record. Today we're going to, having done the administrivia, further our discussion on identified topics of review, and we're going to spend a little bit of time on looking at the guiding principles for transparency and a small review of what we're going to be doing in our face-to-face meeting number one when most of us gather in Los Angeles. We do have then any other business, and I want to call now for any other business anyone would like to flag. We will be calling for any other business again at the end of the at the end of today's agenda. But I think one piece of obvious any other business will be a discussion, or at least an introduction, on the non-disclosure agreements and the whys and the wherefores of that, if anyone has a question about it. So we'll take a minute or three to look at that under any other business. Is there any other business anyone wishes to flag? Not hearing anything. I'll open that up again later. And let's then roll to the next slide. Yes, Daniel, I see your hand. Sorry, it was not as quickly as I should have done, perhaps. Please go ahead.
This is Daniel for the record. I'm having at least two issues here. One, I'll mention about the communication channels. Previously, we had mentioned email way back about having Skype as a way of how we can probably carry out a discussion as a discussion. I think that's also one thing. Then another issue is regarding to sometimes the communication challenges. Like, for example, today, we had a challenge whereby you had a power blackout, but thank God that you were able to get back power and able to attend the call. Sorry about that. My audio could be terrible. But, and then, if you have, like, challenges in the call, and then also with the vice chair is not available, then... Yeah, I think for the moment, we can be able to proceed with the call. Thank you. Back to you, Daniel.
Thanks, Daniel. So if I gather correctly, under any other business, you want to raise the matter of communication channels and Skype. And I do appreciate your concern about perhaps Pat or I not being available for any particular call. I would suggest that any one of you with staff could step up and manage a queue. You know, we have huge numbers of experienced people in this room, but it would be an extraordinary and rare circumstance for Pat to have a last minute issue and me to have a power outage again. So let's now move on to the next slide. Daniel, I'm assuming that's an old hand and that you didn't want to have another intervention.
Daniel, for the record, hope my audio is loud and clear. Just to react to that, I was going to suggest that probably in the case whereby where there are no co-chairs, probably staff can be able to leave the call or probably one of the members to volunteer to take up the call. I think that would work perfectly. Thank you. Back to you, Sharon.
Okay. Sorry, it took me a moment to come off mute. Thanks, Daniel. That indeed will be appropriate and certainly not a problem. And, of course, when you start, as I trust we will be starting very soon, to do small group or small work party work, there will be plenty for each of you to be reporting in the plenary calls anyway. There will be less of this filibustering required. Daniel, I'm assuming that's an old hand and that you do not need the floor again, okay? Right, with that, let us turn on to our next slide. Having added two pieces of any other business, communication channels and the use of Skype and the NDAs. Let's now jump through to the one following this and get into our substantive agenda for today, which is furthering our topics for review. Those of you who can, I would strongly encourage you to open up the Google Doc. I believe we're going to be displaying the Google Doc as well, however. But if you're working on a small screen, having the Google Doc open would be useful. And for those of you who weren't quick enough to click it off the last slide, I'm going to ask staff to put the link into the chat as well. So here we are, and this is where we are going to be assuming that this is something you've all had as much opportunity as you need to make comments on, make additional suggestions to, and make any edits, not wordsmithing, but significant edits, before we gather for our face-to-face meeting. Yes, this is a living document, but as we come into our Los Angeles meeting, these are the tabled set, not perhaps limited in a way that we may not expand them or indeed contract them during our face-to-face meeting, but this will be the tabled set of significant issues that we would be looking at to have in our scope. So with that, you should all have scroll control, although I don't seem to be able to scroll within a page, only from page to page, which is odd. If that's a problem for anyone else, let me know and we'll do something about it. But I've had to drop down to 75% so that I can view a full page. Normally I can use my little hand grabby thing to make a slider, but never mind. Not so today. I'm sure we can all go from page to page, though. So starting with the beginning, the first page, these are the bylaw section 4.6C2 that I'm sure you're all very familiar with by now. Is there anyone who wishes to raise a point or suggest that any of these should not be included in our proposed areas of review? I'll open the queue on that or any comments. Happy to take affirmation if you want to believe that they should be. We're not prioritising these at the moment and we're not allocating amounts of time and energy that we'll be putting into them or working it in a particular set of milestones, but we are looking for in general and in principle support or otherwise for us to include these in our scope. So the queue's open. I'll leave it open for a few moments while hopefully some of you step up. Otherwise it'll be a monologue by Cheryl, which is not terribly exciting, I can assure you. And Sebastian's typing. I shall wait to see what he's saying. But I will be taking silence as as consent, that we do agree at this stage in principle to have all of these issues that are clearly outlined in the bylaws, section 4.6c2, as part of our scope. I would note here that we, as we discussed last week, I thought quite well presented by Michael, although you are well and truly welcome to represent it, Michael, but I think you got support that the key part of the ATRT work in terms of transparency should be looked at in specifics, and you proposed the access to information, the DIDP, and the open data system as being mechanisms that should be data checked and audited and reviewed as part of our work as well. So with that, I'll ask you all to go to the next page, the second page, and this is, of course, where we didn't have as much substantial discussion as we did on page one. So I'm going to be taking our lack of disagreement on what was in page one of this working document as agreement that they are all going to be in scope. And I'm also going to hope that any of the issues that we're having getting people connected that I'm seeing come by in chat are being worked on by staff and sorted out so I don't have to draw attention to them. With that, let's move on and assume that we will be now working off everything in page one into our scope of work in a priority yet to be determined, and with time and resource allocation yet to be determined. So looking into page two, we begin to get some opinions in now on prioritisation on those pieces of scope that are at least outlined in the bylaws. And we should note here our thanks to everyone who has, over the next couple of pages, made some of their opinions known. I'm a little bit disappointed that so few of you have managed to put finger to keyboard and have things referenced in this document. It would be good if you could, but we'll certainly understand if you can't do that. That said, we will be looking to draw out, or Pat and I will be looking to draw out everybody's opinion when we get into our face-to-face meeting, and particularly on the prioritisation and resource allocation discussions we'll be having on our fully scoped work, because we do want to make sure that the review team is as one with our plan. That plan, the work plan, and the reporting out of that work plan is going to be a very busy schedule for us to follow, and if each of us aren't fully committed, then the rest of us will have to do far more work than is our fair share. So with that, let's look at some of the comments we got in terms of prioritisation. We have a tendency here to have the numbers options A, which is the board governance, assessing and improving board governance aspects, as getting a fairly high measure of support by those of you who have commented. I think we can also see quite clearly that the option C, which not really options, I should say point C, the assessing and improving the process by which ICANN receives public input, including adequate explanation of decisions taken and the rationale thereof, is another one that the review team is keen to get its teeth around. And what is very important about that is, of course, that's one that we will have an ideal opportunity to interact with the wider ICANN community on when we hopefully get time, face-to-face time, with as many component parts of ICANN as we can get on the agenda of during the Marrakesh meeting. I believe that's an issue that should resonate strongly with community. And so if we can make it clear to community that that is what it is in particular, along with anything else they want to bring up, but that's one of the features that we're going to be looking at in our face-to-face meetings, and a main piece of our work, I think that will be important to get the time on their agendas and the feedback prepared. The only other one which seems to be getting a particular Guernsey, and the order of that the commenters have put them in is not always the same, but we did have repetition on the actual bylaw section, is E, and that is the assessing of the policy development process to facilitate enhanced cross-community deliberations and effective and timely policy development. And with that, I think what we can certainly agree on so far in this document is that A, C and E are getting our top priority. In which particular order, yet to be determined, with what resources, yet to be determined, but those three are resonating strongly with each and every one of you. So with that, I'm going to open the floor now to see whether my reading of what, or sorry, I say pattern my reading of what we see in your document is a reasonable record, and whether Pat and I can start now putting together some of the administration aspects of getting onto at least those three topics as part of our primary goals and perhaps even our top three priorities. So the floor is open. Go ahead, Vanda. Vanda, you seem to be muted.
It's clear now?
Yes, we can. Thanks, Vanda. Over to you.
Okay. It's, just to remember, I put F as some kind of priority because community is not really satisfied with views lately. And we need to think on how to make reviews more objective, less forced, and with results that make any difference. So I believe that we need to, in some way, to deal with this in with some priority, because I have heard a lot of complaints about reviews, and those needs to be, you know, informed to the community, or at least a view from the community that we are taking care about the reviews itself. That's why I put this F alternative with some priority. Thank you.
Off the record, and Vanda, thank you for that. I would have got to that when I moved down past the rest of page three, but just for the record now, and not in my capacity as co-chair, but in my personal capacity as one of the people who's been sent to this review team from the at-large advisory committee. My personal perspective is very much in agreement with F as a priority, and I think some of the discussion that came out of COVID has specifically with the CCTRT, but not limited to that, has made that an even stronger belief. So when we poll, I can assure you I'll be polling along with you there, Vanda. Yeah. Next in queue is Michael, followed by Daniel. Michael, over to you.
Hi, thanks very much. Michael Karanikos for the record. Please let me know if I'm getting staticky or anything because I'm not using the microphone. So I wanted to mention something that I hadn't volume up a bit, please? Does this help? Okay. I'm going to assume it's okay and just keep going, and I can repeat myself if need be. I wanted to add something that I hadn't mentioned previously, just looking again at the list of areas of review, under which I don't think it's been mentioned under D, which is assessing the extent to which ICANN's decisions are supported and accepted by the Internet community. One potential area that I think might be interesting to look at would be related to this, to D, is the role of at-large and the challenge that comes with representing the interests of the end user. Insofar as, you know, I think that a lot of folks have spoken about, you know, how challenging it is to represent the interests of such a broad and diverse, you know, number of billions of folks that are on the Internet. And, you know, at-large has their consultation processes. They have their engagement processes. I think that it might be interesting to examine the, from the context of the whole, the role of at-large and how ICANN receives that kind of broad stakeholder input and how the interests of the Internet community as a whole are represented. Now, you know, I'm not sure if that would be out of scope. I'm open to discussion about that, but that's just a thought that jumped to mind as I looked at the in terms of which I don't think had been mentioned previously. And I can add that in writing if that would be helpful. But one other thing that I did want to mention, and I'm not sure if we're there yet, but with regards to Pat Kane's introduction on transparency items, I just wanted to potentially mention that the activities concerning the five trends for the five-year plan, those sort of five-numbered things, I think that those are distinct from the discussion of transparency. Not to say that we shouldn't look at that. I think looking at the five-year plan is an interesting idea. But, you know, looking at his intervention, I see what transparency mechanisms are necessary, you know, what's the visibility of how decisions are made, you know, specific decisions. I see a transparency nexus in the last three points, but I don't really see a transparency nexus in the first five. So that's not to argue against their inclusion, but I think that they should potentially be structurally separated from the transparency discussion. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mark. We'll share a link in the record. And just 2 points, if I can encourage you, pop those points in the right place as comment in that document. I think that would be great. I certainly agree with you, and I think to that end we can take it as a starting point for our conversation in Los Angeles regarding the transparency items with the three unnumerated points. That is absolutely transparency questions that I thought Pat was trying to raise with relations to the activities that he has enumerated in the five-year plan. And so I think what that is giving us an ideal opportunity to see where the role of the answers to those questions could and should perhaps come into appropriate planning. But that certainly sounds to me like all of that needs to be on the table. Just a point, and here I will pop on my historical context as someone who moved from the CCTLD community into the at-large community back in 2005. At-large and the ALAC specifically don't represent billions of Internet users. They never have. They've never tried to. They are very specifically mandated, and all of their documentation clearly states they act in the best interests of. And so their outreach and engagement is a mechanism of trying to ascertain what community can tell them about what those best interests can be. So demonstrably what they have to do is not represent but act in the best interests of. And that may be a fine point, but it's probably a point if we're going to go down the pathway you suggest. I have Daniel and then Martin. Daniel, over to you.
Daniel for the report. Hope I can be heard loud and clear. I would like to just simply reiterate that we have identified already the key issues that as top priorities. Probably we could also look at Brian Weiss' presentation, because he outlined points of issues to be that affect the respective communities regarding to volunteerism, volunteer fatigue, and I believe all these also affect the transparency process. So what do I suggest? I suggest that once we have identified the key issues, we go ahead and break down the relationship of like a tree whereby these issues fall under, then we can be able to come up with a critical analysis and appropriate recommendations coming from that presentation. Thank you. Back to you, Sharon.
Thank you, Daniel. I like a person who likes using mind map type thinking, and so I won't be arguing against that way forward. And I do know that ICANN does have access to some excellent mind mapping tools. So that sounds like something that we might indeed pursue and usefully discuss if the rest of the review team are supportive of that. Perhaps, Daniel, I could encourage you to spend some of your time as you're flying to Los Angeles to perhaps rough up a little bit of PowerPoint slide or even a mind map itself to help those who are not quite so a fait. With the joys of mind analysis and critical control points, which gets me very excited when I start talking about critical control points. It's almost as good as non-parametric analysis, which is really, really a thrill. I would appreciate that, otherwise I'll tend to bore everyone. Martin,
yeah, Daniel,
report.
I'll be happy to
ahead.
Do something like that. Daniel speaking. I'll be happy to at least come up with something. Thank you. Back to you.
Martin, over to you.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Mind mapping thinking is a nice way to see also why where the blind spots are and distinguish that. Very much appreciate the input that is already gelling up. What struck me, if we haven't mentioned the impact Workstream 2 may have, and we may want to look at. Maybe we should have some attention for that too. With reference to Pat's remarks about the 5-year plan, I think the other part is really looking forward. So what are the challenges ahead that we need to face, and we can find those if partly in the 5-year plan, including the action he refers to as the evolution of the multi-stakeholder model, recognizing that our model has worked and has brought us where we are, but we need to continue improving it to make sure that also in the future it will work. So not only looking at how well we implemented recommendations of the past, but also looking, so what new challenges may we see when looking ahead. In that time, for instance, thinking also about the relevance of stakeholder groups and things, just to be considered. Overall, we know that there is some concern in the community about the package of reviews that ICANN would become a review organization. If there is anybody to really recommend something about making sure reviews form a sensible part of what we do with ICANN together, this would be our ATRT3 team, I think. So I'd love to consider that too, at least. Hope that makes sense.
Thank you very much for that, Martin. Personally, I agree totally with that, Martin, and I'm just putting that into the chat so it never gets lost in the in the record. I think ATRT3 is ideally poised to be doing that. Regarding your point about Workstream 2, thank you for raising that, and can I ask, if not you, can someone, perhaps even staff, add that to our listing on the document, please? And why I think it's important that we do that is we also owe, and perhaps this is something we can also take care of in terms of socialising it to some extent during meeting with community in Marrakesh, and that is we owe our community, the ACs and the SOs who responded, dear me, what was it, back in 2016? It might have even been earlier, with their guidance to what would have then been an ATRT3 starting many years earlier. And to that end, yes, Case, audio is supposed to work. So, Brenda, if you can help sort out Casey's issues here, that would help me greatly while I continue. So with Workstream 2, when the limit of scope was proposed by the Cross-Community Working Group and was strongly supported, with a few variations on the theme, by the ACs and the SOs who responded, and all of you have access to all of that documentation, because it has been on the ATRT3 wiki space since, in fact, before we were even formally gathered together for the first time. So if you haven't read it, please do so. But, of course, at that stage, the support for limited scope, and by limited scope that meant to be encouraged as a review team to not, I underline that, not look at things that were being picked up by the work of Workstream 2. It was well in advance of Workstream 2 even having made their final report a for publication document. It was certainly well in advance of the recommendations of Workstream 2 being known, which of course they are now, and whilst it would have been a utopian delight to have the Workstream 2 recommendations, at least as in those that are likely to impinge on our mandate, under some form of implementation or clear implementation planning, if not actual implementation. That is not where we are now. But we do need to deal with Workstream 2 in a sensible and sensitive way, because we are vastly further on than when it was predicted it would be when the last known instructions and desires of the community were made known to me and to the rest of us. So I think we do have to deal with that in some way, shape or form, and perhaps those of you who are very good at wordsmithing, Michael, you come to mind, for example. Jeff, you've got the reputation of Occam's razor, so perhaps you can also assist in this. We can build a rationale as to why we will be looking at it, assuming we will be, and why someone just looked at what the community asked us to do and what we are now then doing is different, so that we can get ahead of that. So from that point of view, I'm going to hope that I've voluntold at least two of you, who can gather however many more you need, to see if we can get that piece of work done. And, of course, my laptop is telling me that my battery's running low. So with that, thanks, Michael. I know you've worked with me long enough to know I can be subtle. And Jeff certainly has worked with me long enough to know that he's probably going to try and ignore me if he possibly can. But that's all right. We'll get it. We'll get it sorted. So thanks, Michael. If you and a couple of others, I can start naming more people if you like, can have a think about that. That's something else we can look at when we gather together Now, we've spent, let me think now, about 40 minutes on this particular agenda item. Pat and I didn't think we would spend much more than 45. So if you just want to flick through to the last page, which is page 4 of the document, you'll see that is the rest of Vanda's comment, where she's looking at the rest of her prioritisation, or I believe it's Vanda's comment. Correct me if I'm wrong, Vanda, but I thought it was. And so to that end, I want to encourage all of you. Now, we've had a second run through half of it and a first run through all of it, to consider making some edits and comments directly onto that that document, and that we will be using it as a piece of foundation work, with the expectation that pretty much at this stage everything that's listed here will be looked at. A couple of additions, as we've discussed today, such as the Workstream 2 matter, will be added. And then, of course, we will have to look at resource allocation and prioritisation when we are together, along with who is going to step up to work with whom in small group or small team activities for each of these things. Now, some of you may wish to be involved in each and every one of them, and more power to you if you do. But we certainly would expect each of you to be involved in at least one of them. If you want to get involved in all, great. If you want to get involved in three, fantastic. But please do consider which one you will be signing up for. So think hard on that, because we will be taking names and numbers when we gather together. Wolfgang, I'm just going to read to the record your comment in chat, because it's obviously, I think, needs to be on the audio transcript as well. This is from Wolfgang. His understanding is that ATRT is different from other reviews. If you go back in history, ATRT was seen as the key oversight over the board in the affirmation of commitments. The innovation of the affirmation of commitments was a diversified and issue-oriented oversight mechanism, and ATRT was seen also as the oversight on all oversight mechanisms. In the transition, the AOC reviews were mixed with the SOAC reviews, but again, ATRT is of a different caliber, and Wolfgang, as often, in fact, always the case, you are utterly and absolutely correct. ATRT is the Uber of the review teams, and it is very much in their bailiwick mandate or scope, should they so desire, to review the other RTs. So I think that's that is strengthening that. And perhaps, Wolfgang, it seems to me that if you have some time in a plane, knowing how much time you spend in planes, I'm only being slightly flippant here, you might pen perhaps a, you know, 400 or 500 words-ish on this history. I mean, I lived it, you lived it, but when we get to ATRT5, perhaps no one will remember it, and it could be a useful resource to go back from where we were in the days of the JPA, why we ended up with an AOC, and how the specificity of what ATRT1 was and what it had to do was tied with the affirmation of commitment and the following wonderful things that happened in the evolution of ICANN, including the IANA transition, came to pass. It also would make clear to people in the future why the focus on the board accountability and indeed the interaction of the GAC and the board and the GAC and its role in public interest holds such an important part of the ATRT mandate. So perhaps that would be something that sometime in this next 12 months' worth of work you might generate. Pretty please. I would very much appreciate you doing that, and I'm sure others would as well. You know, some of us oldies need to do the historical stuff while we can. And you're damnably good at it. All right, that's enough compliments from me. I don't like to make those too often. We've now spent about 50 minutes on this point. So, excuse me. If I may, can I ask that we move to our next gender item, and if anyone has an objection? I'm not seeing any objections. I am going to hope that the next slide says what I'm expecting it to do, which is all about transparency and the guiding principles, and we're going to slip across to the following slide after the placeholder for the title. Pardon me. And have a look here at these guiding principles. Now, this is our own transparency, please. Let's not confuse this with our mandate to look at ICANN's transparency. This is what an Australian would tend to say, eating our own dog food. In other words, we should be setting our own standards up and following standards which are exemplary to all of those things that we would desire in the organisation we are reviewing. So here they are as we have them at this stage. The Transparency Guiding Principles, as she is writ at the moment, state the following. The review teams, with assistance from ICANN.org, shall maintain a public wiki space or equivalent. We have that. We are not making good enough use of it yet. As we get into our work, we will need to ensure that any of the small group activities, the small team activities, the regular reporting, etc., that this is kept up to date scrupulously well. Secondly, all review team plenary meetings must be conducted in a transparent manner, recorded and transcribed. And certainly that is happening to date. It will continue to happen. We also need to recognise that things like our face-to-face meetings are plenary meetings, and so they must be also conducted in a transparent manner, recorded and transcribed. And so we will need to look at if and when we have small team or work team activities in any of these face-to-face meetings, how we manage these commitments in a suitable way. The next point is the recordings and transcripts must be posted on the review's wiki page in a timely manner, usually no later than 48 hours after the meeting. Now, so far so good on that, because we haven't done a whole lot of work, but as your workload ramps up, and particularly as the small team or work party activities start kicking on, I would strongly encourage you to also follow this rule and therefore make sure that as much of your work is done either in a form such as a shared document form that is easily linked to from a wiki, and that any telephonic meetings are appropriately recorded and set up for transcript, which means you will need to work with staff. It's not necessarily, for example, going to be terribly useful if a small work party or work team just has a Skype call between three of you without having the recording and transcript being made available of your work. I would suggest we would be reasonably criticised that we wouldn't be following this particular principle, unless one of you is really good at transcribing. Mailing lists, accepting those used for discussion of information provided to a review team under a non-disclosure agreement, must be publicly archived and links to it provided on the review's wiki page. This mailing list and public linking to it has been embedded in our wiki page, so I can assure you you've already got that done. We also haven't had an enormous amount of traffic going through those mailing lists yet. Note here where it says under a non-disclosure agreement, one obviously needs to be able to predetermine whether or not something is going to be confidential. There may be times where it's not so much that it is under a non-disclosure agreement, but it did occur during at least ATRT 1 and 2 that some input from community that the person or persons or groups that were making that input to the review team wished to make it to the review team in a confidential manner and for it to be dealt with so that the information as such, once sanitised, could be used by the review team in its publications, but that no attributions could be made. And I think that's an important principle to perhaps extend in this set of guiding principles here. So thanks for that, Jean-Baptiste, the link to the email archives. And believe me, people do look at the email archives. And Michael, I can understand why the most desire for utter and absolute transparency would be concerned. But for example, if you have a whistleblower, you often need to protect a whistleblower. And so one of the discussions that I would like to see you have and establish very early on as we look at our principles and any embellishments there too, will be for you to all have a frank and fearless conversation about exactly these issues of confidentiality or otherwise. You are obviously able to take things in camera, discuss something that may or may not be a confidential or under an NDA during that in-camera session, come back out of it, and under reasonable and well-established rules, at least update the community on the public record as to the nature of and to go without attribution as far as is reasonable in the reporting of it, and therefore be as transparent as possible, but still not put off or risk having people not bring up issues through fear for themselves and their reputation. So that's just a harbinger of a conversation and discussion to yet be had. So think about that and think about what your positions may or may not be. Can I have the next slide? I'm not seeing any hands raised on this slide. Let's move to slide 8. There we go. This is an important one for our community to understand. That's about observers and what the rights and responsibilities of such observers are. Anyone can sign up as an observer to any specific review team. Observer numbers are not limited. Clear instructions on the review team wiki space on how to become an observer obviously will be posted. All non-selected candidates shall be offered by the ICANN organisation to participant as an observer. I know that the clear instructions exist and are existing on the wiki space already. I am unaware whether the offer by ICANN org for every non-selected candidate was made, and I'm going to ask now if staff can confirm that or otherwise. Thank you, Jean-Baptiste. He says in chat that it was done. I would have been surprised if it was not, but I did want it on the record that it was done, so thank you so much for that. Thirdly, all observers shall receive plenary meeting agendas and information on where to find recordings of meetings and any supporting documentation. That is certainly being done through the wiki. May I ask, Jean-Baptiste, is it being done in any other way? In other words, are we pushing to our observers, I see some of our favoured and regular people in the observer team here already. And I am now asking you, Jean-Baptiste, if you can tell me, other than the wiki, is there any other mechanism we are using to get this information out to observers? Over to you, Jean-Baptiste.
Thank you, Cheryl. To answer your question, observers who are part of our list, they are receiving the plenary meeting agendas and information. So that's not only if you would go on the wiki, but that's they are being informed of the upcoming meetings and what will be discussed. I hope that replies to your question.
Thank you, Jean-Baptiste. Cheryl Lingdenor for the record. If I understand you correctly, what I think I heard you say is that we are in some way, shape or form, perhaps by email, for example, pushing to our signed up observers what is going on in advance of our calls. If that's being done, great. If not, perhaps it's something that might be considered. But we are certainly being public enough to meet these minimal requirements. If there's anything anyone else can suggest, and indeed if any of the observers have anything to suggest, we'd certainly welcome that. Let's move to these responsibilities and rights as well, and that's in the observers may. So observers may attend a meeting virtually. All meetings, whether in person or online, will have a dedicated Adobe Connect room for observers to participate. A little bit more on this. There is nothing stopping you all as review team members joining that Adobe room if you want to. Works both ways. They receive our audio in. They see what we see in shared space. We don't see their chat, but staff assure Pat and I, they are in that room and they are watching that chat, and they will bring to our attention anything that occurs in that dedicated room for observers to participate should they raise something that requires our particular attention at the time. So just so everyone understands what is going on, if you're really good at multitasking, feel free to join. Just ask staff and they'll give you a link. But rest assured, staff are dedicating themselves to making sure that anything that goes on in that observer Adobe Connect room not only mirrors what we are doing without our chat, but is also bringing anything from their chat into our work. Now, I believe I've got that right, but I see Negar's hand up, so maybe I've got it wrong, and she's going to correct me. Go for it, Negar.
Hi, Cheryl. No, actually, you did get it right. I just wanted to confirm that, yes, we will indeed monitor the observer's chat room. Not only will we do that during the face-to-face meetings, we're also doing it on all of the plenary calls as well. So Brenda on the call is constantly monitoring, providing updates as everything comes in. So I do want the review team to rest assured we've got our eyes on it. And to repeat what you just said, that at the face-to-face meeting in Los Angeles, the observer room will be projected on one of the screens just so everyone in the room has visibility into it. And for those that are participating remotely, if any comments come in through the observer room, we will be sure to read it out loud just to make sure everyone's on the same page regarding what's happening.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that, Negar. Cheryl Lingdenor for the record. And I'm delighted when I get things right and you give me some affirmation from time to time. I fear that my headset is about to lose its battery, so if I go silent, I will switch to a handset. But let's see. see if we can get through this slide at least. We also note here that they subscribe to an observer's email list, and they can send a request to relevant staff persons at the MISI secretariat ICANN.ACT.ICANN.org, requesting their addition to that list. As we move to the next slide, I'm going to switch to a handset. Please, if we can move to slide 9, thanks.
Okay. Hopefully you can all hear me still. Let me know if my volume is wrong, seeing as I'm now using a different piece of technology. Continuing on our... we seem to have more transparency guiding principles for observers than we do for ourselves here, which makes me smile. However, continuing with observers, they may also attend a meeting in person. I certainly did a lot of that when I was an observer during ATRT2. I, in fact, attended so many meetings as an observer in ATRT2, both face-to-face and virtually, that I had to remind Brian Cute, who chaired both ATRT1 and ATRT2, that I actually only served on ATRT1. He actually forgot and thought that I was actually serving on both of them with him. So, oops, I must have been a little more present than I'd intended to be, even as an observer. So keep up the good work, observers. You can make a difference. You can attend a meeting to share your input and questions with the review team. And obviously that's subject to applicable space limitation. The calendar of scheduled calls and meetings is published on the review team's wiki page, and ICANN will, however, not cover any expenses incurred by observers. So situation normal there. That's fine. Email input to the review team here. Let's make sure that our observers are aware that they may send an email to the review team, share input on their work. Relevant email addresses to direct input is posted on the wiki page, and it certainly was when I last looked at the wiki page. Having received input from observers via email, our team is encouraged to respond if appropriate, and ensure that a record of the submission is posted on the review wiki page, and the link there to the email address is input2atrt3@icann.org. Whilst we are encouraged to respond, I personally would find it, and I suspect Pat would too, very poor form if we did not, even if our response is little more than thank you so much for your observation. It behooves us to close a communication loop wherever possible, because it's the type of thing we would expect our organisation to be doing. So let's see if we can do better than that guiding principle in what we do. And then finally on this slide, observers may provide input during public comment proceedings. Well, of course they can. They're public, after all. Observers may contribute their views via the standard public comment process and during public consultations. This is actually important for people to note, that being signed up as an observer does not in any way limit your rights for the normal methods of putting in public comment, nor does it devalue anything that you do either as an observer or in a PC process. Let's move to slide 10, and again, I'm not seeing any hands up, but I am watching for that. Next slide, please. And we're at the home stretch, ladies and gentlemen. Last two. We also have the possibility to pause recordings for private conversations or ask observers to leave the room. Note that here we are no longer talking about observers, but of course this is something that affects observers. And when someone like me, an Australian, uses the term in camera, this is what we mean. I have no idea why in camera, which would appear under camera, you should be more public, but in fact, for whatever reason, it is actually referring to when we would retreat to a review team and a support staff only conversation, and that it is appropriate, however, when one reconvenes the normal meeting process, that one does make a report on the public record about, to the best of our ability, as transparently as possible, about what the in-camera session was to do with. Latin origin, thank you, Martin. I knew we'd have someone educated enough to keep me on the straight and narrow about these things. Thank you. So I shall continue to use my term now, but I will understand it better, or at least know who to blame. Those Latins again. And finally, ICANN may require review team members to sign a non-disclosure agreement before accessing documents, and that is under a particular bylaw. I can't tell you the amount of time ATRT1 spent on this particular aspect of how we now do things, but you will note in your email box recently that you were sent something about a non-disclosure agreement. You're also told in that email from staff that should you choose not to sign a non-disclosure agreement, that in no way stops you operating in the review team and in our work. However, that should anything that is going to be subject to such an NDA is being discussed, you will, of course, be asked to absent yourself, because clearly, if you haven't signed the NDA and it's being discussed under an NDA, you can't. So it's certainly not going to impede anybody from not being fully, almost, perhaps fully engaged. It may be that we don't get anything that needs to cross our desk, our mutual desk, that would require a non-disclosure agreement. And thank you very much for that email link to the NDA information. So I'm certainly going to sign it. Happy to do so. Won't be the first or the last NDA I've worked under. I suspect that'll be the case for many of you. But if it's a problem for any of you, as we move to the next slide, please. We will pick that up under any other business briefly. So think about your responses, your reactions, and any questions regarding that, and we will come back to that, loop back to that, as we go into any other business. Now, I'm going to take a much-needed deep breath and ask, as we go to the next slide on the face-to-face meetings, our third agenda item for today, I'm going to ask, seeing as Pat and I have been through this so many times, we don't want to look at it anymore, if the Negar or Jean-Baptiste can take us through where we are in this draft-ish, but nevertheless more than a skeleton of our agenda for our face-to-face meeting, which will be running the 3rd, 4th and 5th of April in Los Angeles in the ICANN headquarters office. Over to you, staff.
Thank you very much, Sharon, and I'm more than happy to do so. So before I start with the agenda for the face-to-face meeting, I just wanted to get back to you on some concerns that were raised on the last plenary call regarding the hotel confirmation that you had not received. So we received feedback on that, and normally you should receive this hotel confirmation this Friday. So they are informed, they are aware about it, and you will receive it. Now in terms of agenda, so just to start with a high perspective, so the suggested times for the 3 days are the following. Your meeting would start at 9 and end at 5:30 p.m. local time, with break in the morning at 10:30 and then in the afternoon at 3:30, and you would have a lunch break of 60 minutes at 12:30. So I'm just going to project quickly the agenda that was shared with you via email. If there are any questions or comments, please raise your hand or do not hesitate to post in the chat. And I'm going to seeing the document so that you can zoom as you prefer. So what we have listed here, of course, is the address of the meeting venue, which is ICANN offices. The meeting will take place in Postal A. So the first day will start with opening remarks from Teresa Swinehart, followed with the roll call, the call for statement of interest updates, housekeeping rules, and the opening remarks, and day one agenda and objectives. After that, since some of you are new with the specific reviews, we'll provide an overview of the specific reviews and process flows to provide you with more background on what is coming along the review. And then this is followed by a review of the suggested work plan and timeline. If you recall, that was already presented on previous calls, so it would be a deeper conversation on that. This is followed just before the break by an introduction on the outreach plan, and by outreach plan we mean the different moments where the review team will reach out to the community and provide updates on the advancements of its work. After the break, there will be and throughout the day, there will be several working sessions intended to review finalize the objectives in their terms of reference and scope. And this is echoing the discussion that you had today and within the Google Doc. And at the end of the day, there will be a review of day two agenda and closing remarks. In the evening, there is a review team dinner scheduled. You should have received information from Brenda on that. And just I will comment in the chat from Wolfgang any information about the hotel. So on that, as I mentioned, you will receive a confirmation via email. The hotel is located 11 minutes walking distance. This is the, if I recall correctly, the Hilton Hotel, it's 11 minutes walking distance or 4 minutes with services like Uber or Lyft, which are available in Los Angeles. And if you need any other information, or if you see that for some reason you don't have the confirmation from the hotel, please feel free to reach out to us, and we'll get with our colleagues. Following up on the day two agenda, so again, review of day one takeaways and look at the objectives of day two. There will be two other working sessions on terms of reference and scope, and this is until lunch. In the afternoon, there will be a work plan and a timeline working session where the review team will identify and define certain tasks and assign 13 members, and it will also mirror the work plan milestones into the terms of reference. After the break, there will be another working session intended to finalize terms of reference and scope, and finally a wrap-up with closing remarks and a review of day three agenda. Day three starts with the takeaways from the previous day and a look at the objectives for the day. The review team will determine the response to the item board request. And after the break and after the lunch break as well, there are two parking lots for any item that requires further discussion. And also we'll make sure that in the meeting room there are whiteboards where you can write any topic that you would like to place on the parking lot for potential discussion. In the afternoon, after the afternoon break, there will be a confirmation on the call schedule, so not only the plenary calls and the substance calls, but also your future face-to-face meetings. And at the end of day three, there will be the wrap-up with a roadmap to the draft report, where you will set deadline, pen holders, and confirm decisions reached and action items of these 3 days. And finally, any other business and closing remarks. Are there any questions or comments?
Oh, well, unanimity. Wow. Excellent.
Cheryl, for the record, thanks for that, Sean. That's chief. And I must say, whilst we will, of course, leave this as a draft agenda till we adopt it as such, we believe this is a very good skeleton, and that hopefully it also gives all of you a clear set of time bindings that we will be working with. Now this is important to Pat and I, because we recognise that not everyone of our review team will be able to be in attendance in Los Angeles, and that some of you will be in very different time zones. And to that end, if you are unable to join us other than remotely, if you can please let staff know what time zone you will be in, because it may be that you're not domiciled, or not where you're domiciled at the 3 days, but you could be in some other space attending some other conference or something. So if we've got a bit of an idea of what time zone you're going to be in while you're attending remotely, that would be greatly appreciated by Pat and I, and we'll at least consider you as best as we can during that. It also means that people who, as observers or as only partial remote participants from the review team, can know when things are going to be discussed in what time binding. So Pat and I will be doing our darndest to make sure that these times are pretty much adhered to perfectly. And so if someone is dialing in or particularly wants to listen to a part, they will be able to do so with not more than, you know, let's say 5 minutes worth of delay one way or the other. So with that, I believe, unless some of you have something else to say about this draft agenda and the Los Angeles meeting, if I can just ask staff to perhaps pop into the chat the address, et cetera, of the DoubleTree, and if staff can take an action item to poke at constituency travel with a sharp-pointed stick if needs be, to get the confirmation, to ensure that the confirmation for accommodation is out in the hands of the supported travellers as soon as possible, that would be great. I'm glad you're already doing that. Thank you, Shop that piece. Okay, now let's move then to any other business. And in a perfect world, we might even head to the close of this meeting a minute or five before our allocated time. Yeah, so thanks, Vanda, for confirming that people who actually can walk, unlike me, can make the footfall safely in about 12 minutes. That's great to know. Right, the doodle poll. This is something that I believe most of you have done and responded to the question. The question on the doodle poll was, is there a preference on having a normally scheduled plenary call in the week following an ICANN meeting? And the results are that at least 13 of us were in favour of doing so. So for everyone's reference, just so we're all clear, after future ICANN meetings, we will plan on having our normal weekly meeting held. So that's something you can put in your calendars and have it all tied up in a bow. The next piece of any other business I think I'd like to come to is probably the easiest of them, and that is the point that Daniel raised, and that was when you filled out various pieces of paperwork early on, the administrivia that we all went through as we were inducted into this review team, that you put in a a Skype address and your willingness to use Skype or otherwise as a communications channel. I don't know, and I don't think Pat knows either, what the breakdown was of who selected what type of, you know, Slack or otherwise methodology. But certainly the leadership team, Pat and staff, and I have been using a Skype channel to interact with each other, and because Skype actually, you know, buzzes nicely, I'm perfectly happy to continue with that. I gather, Daniel, you wish to suggest that unless there was a reason not to, that we should start up a review team Skype group. That certainly would make sense as we come up to our face-to-face meeting, so that particularly those who are not with us can use that as a bit of an aid memoir as to what topics are on and when things are happening. So, Daniel, have I paraphrased your desires correctly? Well, not hearing that I haven't done a good job of that, I'll assume that that is the case. Can I ask then, is anyone objecting to being added to a Skype group? Brenda, hopefully you're not objecting to that, because I add you to lots of Skype groups over the years. I am, however, going to move to you now, Brenda. Over to you.
This is Brenda, and I'm certainly not objecting to that. I was a little off topic, just confirming that there are no flight issues with any of the travelers coming to L.A. So I just wanted to confirm we're good to go on that at this late time, a week before you arrive.
Well, that's very good to
know. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. And I did note earlier on in chat when I was asking Tyler about his potential visa issues that he has his interview, I believe, tomorrow. And so it would be a fingers crossed from me, but let's hope it's certainly going to be something he gets through. Now, with this, let's assume then, if nobody's objecting, that Brenda, I guess I'm asking you to create a Skype group with everybody who's given their Skype name, and we will start running that as we move into going to LA. The advantage of that is if there's a plane delay or if someone is, you know, held up and in customs or whatever, you know, border control not letting them in, when they get access to internet, they may in fact be able to let us know. So that's also a good thing as well. Then finally, in our last couple of minutes here, if I can just ask, I did see some discussion in chat regarding the NDAs, and as I said to Michael in response to his rationale as to why he wouldn't be signing up front, but he may consider it depending on the circumstance at the time. That is why we have things set up the way we do in terms of not restricting review team members, but also respecting the use of NDAs. Is there anyone else who wants to raise any issues or questions regarding the NDAs? I think it was, I did see another one asking, was this a new piece of documentation? Early on in chat, Jean-Baptiste, did you respond to that? Save me scrolling all the way back through chat.
I just did, Sherry, because I said afterwards. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. So with that, yes, please be sure it is a new document. If you are intending to sign it, please do so. You can, you know, give hard copy to staff when you arrive in Los Angeles, or you can send them a virtual file. I'm sure they'll be happy with either of those things. And to that end, we only have a couple of decisions for each action item. For those of you who need to leave the call now, I respect that you need to do so. We are coming to the top of our timing anyway, but staff and some of us will be staying on for the next minute or so to make sure that any of the decisions reached and action items are appropriately listed. So, Jean-Baptiste, if I'm assuming this is going to be for you to run us through now.
Yes.
And make sure everything's been captured. Thanks.
Yes, thank you, Cheryl, and I'll be fast. As decisions reached, we have the following one: in absence of co-chairs, review team member to volunteer or staff to lead agenda and conversations. As action items, for the identified topics of review, so one identified action item was to add Martin's input to the Google Doc. Then item of to follow up with travel services on auto confirmation for the face-to-face. And finally, item of to create a review team Skype group.
Excellent. Well, if we do all of that, we'll be busy enough between now and landing in Los Angeles to that end. As we wrap up today's call, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us. I want to thank staff for the excellent support they give us, and I also wanted to note that for those of you who won't be travelling to Los Angeles, you will be sorely missed, but we will include you to the fullest of our ability as remote participants. If you are not going to be participating at all, in other words, not travelling and not a remote participant, please let staff know. And with that, safe travels and bye for now.